Romans chapter number 8 this morning. Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to probably make a kind of a little bit of an abbreviated Sunday school. I brought, Brother Jeff Reiser had a great idea, and all the Sunday school classes did a thing for pastor. Basically, they did a little, I don't know what you call it. Poster, I guess. Some of them were really large posters. But anyway, it was a big poster. And so I thought, you know, it'd be good for us. I'm not going to have everybody take a picture and put them on a poster. But I did bring a box of cards, just thank you cards. Or they're just blank cards, I think. My wife bought them. I hope they're just blank cards. I don't know. They're thank you cards. Well, yeah, they say thank you. They're just a generic, just kind of a generic card. So if you'll think about, you know, I want you to think about what we're talking about this morning, but maybe think about it, and we'll finish up just a few minutes early, and I'll give everyone one. If you don't mind, just jot a quick note to preacher. You may not realize it sometimes, but pastor fights a lot of things that sometimes we don't see. You know, as far as things within, even. I mean, just, you know, the devil fights him a lot. So, you know, just a quick thank you. I'm not saying for anything in particular. Just note of encouragement. So you might be thinking about that as we, and I'd just like to give him a stack of them from the adult Sunday school class. And I think that would mean more than, you know, most of you probably don't really want your picture taken anyway. So, but it would give him something that would be an encouragement to him. So you might think about that. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Thank you so much for all the prayers as we went down to Kentucky this week. And thank you for the prayers for that. And Lord, the Lord did work. The Lord was, it was great messages. And, you know, it's hard. It's like I told my wife, I said, you know, tonight I'm going to have a few of the teens give some testimonies. They're in Sunday school right now, obviously. But, you know, it's hard to take, you know, well, we're basically there for two full days. It's hard to take two full days and even condense it into, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it is. But God really worked. He worked in my heart, I know. And so thank you for that. Then we went down to the Ark Encounter down there, wherever it is, Williamstown or something like that. How many's ever been to the Ark? Everybody been to the Ark? Good. If you've never been, it's worth going to see. It puts a whole new perspective on the Ark. And maybe if enough of you wanted to go, I'll take a bus down there and I'll drive you down there if you want to go. But if you get the opportunity to go down there, I would take it's, you know, it's with teenagers. You know, I've got 14 teenagers. It's not like you're going to go spend 6 hours there. They go through it pretty quick because they don't really stop and read stuff. They just kind of, oh, wow, that's cool, you know, go on to the next thing. So, but it's pretty amazing, pretty amazing. Puts in perspective. Romans chapter 8, but we went down there. The bus ran great. No breakdowns this time, so praise the Lord for that. But Romans chapter 8, we're going to read, go down to verse number, well, let's just read verse 28, and then we'll come back and read some other verses here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, our class is strong again this morning. Lord, thank you for that. We've been missing a few people the last few weeks, but I thank you for the ones that were able to be here this morning. And Lord, I do know there's a couple missing, but I do thank you for everyone that was able to have the strength and ability to get here this morning. And I pray that you just bless us this morning as we look in your word. And God, this world's full of negative things. And Lord, I pray that you can help us have the right mindset, the right attitude towards these things. And God, that you would help us to be have the right mindset, you know, as far as the way we deal with things. And Lord, thank you for having a good purpose, a good plan for everything. And Lord, we trust you. We trust that you will take care of us. And thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to spend a few weeks on kind of the topic, maybe a thought of how to stay positive in a negative world. Because I think for a lot, our world, if you if you read the headlines or you listen to the news a lot, everything that they bring is a negative thing. It's a negative thing. And I don't know if I mentioned this. Me and my wife have been getting phone calls from the United States Census Bureau. And I didn't know. I mean, the United States Census Bureau, I figured that. And we even had them come to our house twice. And they're not just doing a census as far as how many people do you have. They're specifically doing a crime census, okay? I don't know how I got pulled for it, but they're one. I don't know, it's my history. I'm sure it's something with my background, but I got pulled. Our family got pulled to do this crime survey, okay? And basically this guy calls and he wants to know, in the past 6 months, has any crime been committed against you? Okay? And they don't just leave it at that, all right? Because I would be like, no, I haven't. And then he's like, well, has anything been missing that you didn't know of? That, you know, you may have laid, you know, that you thought you put someplace and you went back to get it and it wasn't there. I'm like, yeah, that happens all the time. I mean, I put tools down all the time and I go back and I know I put it there and it's not there. And, you know, I usually find it later. So, you know, but the whole thing, and, you know, has anybody, and they start going down this road as far as they're wanting you to come up with something, okay? And what it is they're wanting, you know, and I kind of got irritated at the guy because he's called my wife two or three times and he finally called me. And my wife's real sweet and, I'm not going to give the guy a bunch of information, all right? And, I mean, we get a letter. It's a legit. It's not just a scam. It's a legitimate thing from the Census Bureau. And finally, the guy called me, and I was kind of fed up with it. And the guy's name was John. And I was kind of, one of those bad days when probably you get the days when you get a telemarketer, and there's the days that, no, I'm not interested days. And then there's the days when you give them a piece of your mind days, all right? And that was one of those give them a piece of my mind day. And so I told him, John, you know the problem with you guys? I said, you want to make everyone a victim. You want to make everyone a victim. They're looking for victims. And if you think about it, the more victims, and the reason they do this is because, let's say I'm in Clay County, but I'm also in the Jacksonville area. Well, if they report so many victims of certain things, they can start getting grants to help for these victims, all right? You go to these schools, and they're telling kids that they have deficiencies or they have handicaps. They have these things. Well, you think a little bit differently than the average, and sorry, but what is the average? What is the norm? Okay, what is that? Because I'm not normal. And you guys know that, right? I'm a little wacky up here, okay? So I would be put in some special ed class because of hyperactivity disorder or something like that. And everyone, but you know the reason they want to push that is because the more they can push that, the more money they can get for their special needs classes. Okay. Instead of dealing with, listen, we've got young people in our church, not that we bring in on the bus, but in our church that if they were to go to a public school or a public arena, they would be labeled as autistic, ADHD. They would be labeled like that. Okay. But just because a kid's a little hyper when he's four doesn't mean he's got a disorder. Okay. And what our society wants, well, that, you're just a special needs. No, they're not. They're special, but doesn't mean that they have special needs. What if that's an asset? That can be an asset, okay? Whether you realize it or not. I mean, You know, the best people that can deal with hyper kids is a hyper big kid, for lack of a better term. All right? Somebody that it will just completely lose themselves in front of a kid, a young person, is the one that will be able to hold their attention. Okay? And so this guy's calling me and he's asking me all these questions. And I said, John, I was like, I'm not a victim. He's like, well, when was the last time? He's like, and you know, he's got his paper he's reading. You can tell that. You know, so he's going through his list. And he asked me about my kids. And some of the questions were really stupid. So I let him get through his thing and I would challenge him on all these questions. And he's like, you know, he's going through my family. You know, was your, and I know this may take a few minutes, but I thought it was kind of funny. He's like, he's going through my family, you know. Are you and Lynette still married? Well, yeah. Do you live in the same house? Yes. But you would be surprised. You'd be surprised. So he starts going through all my kids, and he's like, and they did this 6 months ago. Okay, so they got to do it every 6 months. Because, you know, things might happen within the past 6 months that I didn't report to the police. And he says, do you still have a daughter? I was like, yes, Emily. And he's like, and she's 8. Well, yeah, she's still 8. He said, and you have a daughter, Gwen, and how old is she? I'm like, she's still 6. And you have a son, Micah. I'm like, yeah. Or you have a son? And I'm like, yes. And I was like, and he's still 4. And you know, and I said, I have a daughter that was just born, and this was a month or so ago. I said, her name is Lydia. And I said, she was born 2 months ago. And she's like, Lydia, okay, how do you spell that? And I was like, Lydia. He's like, great. And is she under a year old? I was like, John, she's 2 months old. I guess that makes, and I'm, what I'm telling you is pretty much what I told him. That wouldn't make her under a year old, right? Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like, duh. And so we're talking about all this stuff, and he was asking me about all the, you know, if I had any, all these crimes committed against me. I said, John, I was like, you know, the problem is you're trying to make everyone a victim instead of a victor. I said, when was the last time you did a poll and started calling people and asking them about the blessings that they had that week? Hey, tell me about a few blessings that you had this week. And so, you know, he did. Of course, he didn't have nothing to say about that. And then so he went on to this other thing, and he said, I got just a few more questions. And he was getting irritated at this point, which I was already there, so it didn't bother me any. He said, when was the last time you were in contact with your local police department? Like, called the local police department and talked to your police and everything like that? Well, I work for the Jacksonville police chief. Like, I'm redoing a house for him right now. And I said, well, I was like, the police chief called me yesterday and wanted to know if his plumbing was done yet. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about, you know? Everything he said, he's like, all right, I see how this is. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm just being honest. You're asking questions. I'm just telling you the truth. And he's like, he said, and this is what killed me. He said, I just got a few more questions. He said, are you deaf? I'm like, John, I'm talking to you on the telephone. I said, John, put this down. Make sure you write this down. I said, make sure you put down that this man is deaf and he's mute. All right? And I just got done with a phone conversation with him. All right? But listen, folks. Now, if you ever get this guy, just do what I did. I don't know that he's going to call me back, quite honestly. But you know what the problem is? I said all that to say, we live in a society that wants you to be negative. We live in a society that wants us to only see the negative things. Okay? When was the last good thing? And I don't really care from what news station. You know, our president has done some pretty amazing things. But you know, all they want to bring up is all the bad stuff. All the bad stuff. And you look at, or okay, you know, when he did those, you know, however long ago he did that trade thing with China, you know, yeah, that hurt some people. But you know what? He did that. And then a few months later, he did the biggest trade deal that China has ever done with us. All right? And, you know, everyone else says, well, but you didn't hear about that. You didn't hear about that. All you heard about was all the negative stuff. And if we're not careful as Christians, we get all this input. We get all this stuff coming in. And if we're not careful, we start looking in everything in our life in a negative view. In a negative view. And so I'm going to talk about that for a few weeks just here. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and I want to do my best to not take this out of context, because Romans 8, verse 28, if you think about this, folks, is the 28th verse of this chapter. And very many times we take this verse, and that's the verse we hold on to as a Christian. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But if you go look at the first part of this chapter, it's very much talking about a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And it's talking about people that aren't just a Christian, but that live their lives as a spirit-led Christian. Okay? And but I do believe that God has, and this is what I'm going to talk about this morning, is God's master plan, if you would. God has a master plan. But many times we don't, as Christians, we don't see the master plan. We just see our little piece of the plan. All right? And I've taught a lesson about puzzles before. You know, you got a 1,000-piece puzzle. You take one piece out of that puzzle, that one piece in and of itself doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? It's when you put the piece with all the other pieces that it makes sense. And I believe, folks, that God has a purpose in everything, okay? God has a plan. God has a will in everything. And there is a great, I'm just going to say this, there's a great peace that comes when you accept the fact that God has a plan for it. Okay, I don't understand it. We don't understand it. But there is a greater good that will come from things. I want to give you some things, some food for thought for you this morning, and then I'll pass these out for you, and maybe as soon as we can. Okay. Sometimes we want to take Romans 8:28. We want to look for how it was good for us in some way. You know, well, God said that all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we take that verse and we're still very selfish with that verse. Does that make sense? And I'll explain it. We're very selfish with the verse. Well, I didn't see how, I mean, this happened and I didn't see how it worked good for me. I mean, I didn't come out ahead in any way. All right? And sometimes we look at it in that regard. This didn't work out for me, okay? But I want to say this. Maybe we never will find the good in, put this in parentheses, if you would, in our life. In our life. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, it may not be for the good in my life, but it's not just, this whole world doesn't revolve around me, folks. This whole world doesn't revolve around you, okay? You know, this whole world doesn't revolve around Jasonville, Indiana. You know, we're gonna have coal mines shutting down here. We're gonna have power plants shutting down here, okay? And you think about the two biggest, honestly, the two best jobs. You know, if you talk to somebody that works at Merom, or you talk to somebody that works at the coal mines, they're about the better paying jobs in this area. And sometimes you think about that, and it's like, well, how's that going to work for our good? All right? But you know, folks, this is not the only place in the world. What is it, that little place up there north of Clinton, Boswell, or something like that? I don't remember what it's called. But there's a, what is it? Do you remember what it is? Anybody know? I think it's Boswell. If you go north on 40, 41, 63, they got this little sign that says, I think it's Boswell, the center of the universe. I mean, it's smaller than Jasonville. It's like the size of Colmont, all right? And but, you know, it's sometimes you, well, you know, we had a tornado strike Boswell. And, you know, for those people in Boswell, that was devastating. But nobody else knows where Boswell is, right? And so if we're not careful, we get this, well, it didn't work good for us. But we don't see the whole picture. We don't see how everything else worked. I want to give you some thoughts this morning. What if God is the one who sees all the pieces? Can I trust God with the outcome of this negative thing? Because listen, folks, we all go through negative things. And I think as you get older, it's very easy to see a lot of more of the negative instead of the good things. Maybe because you've experienced a lot of good things in your life, and as you get old, you know, your health starts to go, your mobility, the things like that, you don't have access to that like you used to. And so you start seeing, well, it's just the negative. And then you sit, you know, you sit sometimes and idle hand, you know what's the saying? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle minds can be too. And if we're not careful, you know, okay, you're not careful. You sit in your house and you look at the light bulb that's out, right? And okay, it's a light bulb that's out. When you were 30, it would take you 3 months to replace that light bulb. Because everything else in life is demanding your attention. And, it, you know, you got three other, you know, you've got, what do we got in here? Three, six, seven, eight, nine lights in each one of these, all right? And one of them's out. You know, as a 30-year-old, yeah, but I got that many left. I mean, it got plenty of light. I mean, we're fine. When you're 80 or 70, that bugs you. It bugs you. And here's the thing. Listen, because I'm going somewhere with this. And if you're not careful because we're idle and because our mind, and this is the way the devil works. And you got to recognize this as a spiritual thing. Okay? You sit there and look at that light bulb and you call your son or your grandson. You say, hey, can you change the light bulb for me? And he's, you know, 25, 30. And so for him, yeah, I'll come over and change it. Remember what I said? How long is it? You know, it'll be 2 or 3 months before he gets there, right? Right? And so at some point you're sitting there and, you know, you start calling him. You call him once. You give him a week. The light bulb is still out. So you call again the next week. Will you be able to come change this light bulb? Yeah, Mom, I'll come change it. It's out. I know. There's seven others in the fixture. And then at some point, you know what the devil starts doing? Listen, because it happens. It's not just about the light bulb. It's about the sun. And at some point there's an animosity that starts building, a negativity. Well, he just doesn't care about me. I think they care about you. They just don't care as much about your light bulb, okay? And I understand, well, they should have. But I just want you to understand that sometimes the devil takes one little, and I just use that as an illustration, okay? The devil takes one little thing that in all reality, folks, I know it's a big deal. Kind of. But in all reality, it's a light bulb. And that could be, it can be applied in a lot of different areas. I'm not just talking about light bulbs, right? But if you're not careful, it goes from that to being a much, much bigger deal. And then it's they just don't care about me. They've forgotten about me. I don't think that they forgot about us or you. I think it's just, we've taken a molehill and made a mountain out of it, okay? And be careful because the devil plays with us. The devil plays with our mind, okay? And if we're not careful, we take one little thing that's small and we, you know, well, pastor said this. Pastor said that. Well, I haven't, you know, he hasn't been, and I called him, and what the devil's doing? He's taking one little thing and over time it's blowing up. It's kind of like that little, you know, it's kind of like the hole in the dam type thing. You know, you take a little hole in a dam, that water can find a way out of the dam. And in a very short amount of time, it's growing and growing and growing and growing and growing before the dam finally breaks. Okay? So we got to be careful. We got to keep our spirits under control. What if God is the one who sees all the pieces? Well, this wasn't fair. Well, maybe you aren't the only one that God was concerned about. Have you thought about that? I've read World War II, some documentaries on World War II, and one of the things that caught my attention, you go back during that time period, America was a very much more of a spiritual nation. And I got thinking about all those young men, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, that went up on the beaches and got mowed down on those beaches, American boys, that probably had a mama back home that was praying for them. And I wonder if those mamas at some point didn't look up to heaven and say, God, but that wasn't, how is that going to work out for my good? But you know, we all today are benefiting from something that they didn't understand back then. Why did there have to be a war back then? And ultimately it comes because of our sin nature. All right, that's why, ultimately. But why did that have to happen? Okay, why did those young men have to die? And you think about why did this one have to die and this one didn't? Well, that's not for me to see. That's for God to see. Okay. I thought about this. What if you've got a church? What if you've got a church that's a little baby's born and is struggling for life, and you've got one church that's praying that this little baby lives for whatever reason? You know, it's some health issue, and you've got one church that's praying for this baby to live, and you've got another church across the country that they also had a little baby born, and their baby needs a liver transplant. We've got two families, and both of them are praying to God. So, but for one of their prayers to be answered, the other's prayer can't be answered. Does that make sense? And the thing is, folks, we don't understand. God knows which one of those young people may go on to serve God and which one may not. Okay? God knows those things. That's not for me to judge. And if we're not careful, we look at, well, man, it's terrible. And don't get me wrong, it's sad. But can I trust God with the outcome? Because ultimately, God has control of that, not me. Okay, and sometimes we look at things that, oh man, why did this have to happen? And you know, why is my health this way? Or why did I break this? Or why did I fall? Or why did this family circumstance happen? And sometimes we don't understand the why, but can we trust God with the outcome, even though we don't understand? Okay, I thought about this in Acts, you know, Stephen got stoned for his faith, right? Stephen died a martyr's death. What about his wife? What about his kids? To them, it didn't, you know, he's a man that was serving God. He was doing what was right. But we never talk about his wife that lost her husband. We never talk about if he had kids. And I don't know, but if he had kids, what about his kids? But can we trust God with the outcome, even though we don't understand it all? Okay? What about that? You know, I believe that God does have a master plan. We're not always going to understand it. Romans, you're in Romans. I've got several verses here. I need to get finished. Romans chapter 11. Look over at verse number 33. The Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." You know, we don't have to understand. We can go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. You can look it up later if you want. It's talking about the same thing. You know, it's not up to us to determine what is good and what is bad. Because listen, folks, I'm not the center of the universe. I can't determine those things. And sometimes you think, well, Brother Chad, yeah, I understand the thing about the baby because that one, you know, somebody else need. But I still haven't seen any good out of it. Well, you know what faith, part of faith is trusting God with an outcome even though you don't understand the circumstances. That's part of what faith is. And if we're not careful, though, we get so tied up in the negative part of it that we don't trust God to bring forth something good. Because it's a promise. I'm going to work this for good to them that love me. But God, I do love you. But I don't understand why this happened. Okay? You know, I've talked about the fire before. You know, a blacksmith's fire. You know, a blacksmith's fire is used for at least four different things. It's used to anneal the metal. And anneal means to soften the metal, to make it workable. And not as far as workable, but to make it so it can be worked. It changes the molecular composition of the metal. That's what annealing is. So you stick it in the fire and it anneals it. Then they stick it in the fire to forge it. That means to form it into whatever the tool they want it to be. Then they got to harden it. So then they got to make the tool hard because otherwise the annealing process took all the strength out of the metal. So they got to harden it. But then if they just harden it, it's very brittle. So you got to stick it back in the fire to temper it, to make it a usable piece. To whatever, you know, a spring is different than a file. Okay, and a file and a spring are different than a knife. They've all got different temperaments. But each time that blade has to go into a fire. You say, "Bert Chad, I don't understand why I got to do it." Well, we don't understand all those things, but we have to trust that there is a God that works all the pieces together. About 3 weeks ago, we were coming back from Salem. And I've already told you this, but it kind of made me think about this. We just come back from Salem and we'd made some unscheduled stops. Now, this is kind of weird. My wife's phone quit charging. Now, this is going to really sound silly, all right? My wife's phone quit charging, her cell phone. And she couldn't use the port, the charge port in it. And we was coming back, and we had stopped. We had stopped at Chick-fil-A, hallelujah, to eat. And we had stopped to get fuel. And then we was going through Salem, and she said, "My phone won't work. My phone's quit charging." And I said, "Well, do you need me to stop and get?" She's like, "No, it won't work. Like the port won't work." I thought, well, she's got one of those smartphone things, right? And some of those phones, you can actually, there's a charger that you can just set your phone on. You don't even plug it in. You just set your phone on. I don't know how it works, but kind of weird. But you just set your phone on it and it charges it. I wish my pillows were like that. You know, you sleep and it just, you know, it's like a battery charger. That would be awesome. But doesn't work that way for me. But she just said, I'm like, "Well, there's a Walmart in Salem." I said, "Why don't we just stop at this Walmart and I'll run and get you one of the, they're 10 bucks. I'll get you one of those chargers. That way you can at least charge your phone." Because I didn't want to have to go buy a new phone later. So we stopped there. And then we left Salem. And no joke, I mean, 5 minutes after we left the Walmart, guy ran a stop sign in front of me and I hit him. And so I've been blaming my wife this whole time for my accident. Because if I wouldn't have stopped it, she's not here. She's not here, so I can pick on her. I've been blaming my wife this whole time for my accident. Because if we would not have stopped at Salem, we would not have had that accident. And here's the weird thing, Brother Tom. So we get home and she's charging it and everything, and but it takes a long time to charge. And so this whole accident happened. They totaled my truck, okay? I've been without my truck for... And my truck is, I mean, that's my toolbox. That's my office, all right? Everything runs out of my truck. So I haven't had that. But nobody got hurt. And with what happened, and I'm not going to give you all these details, 2 seconds earlier, 2 seconds later, my wife could have been severely injured, or Gwen, which was sitting in that passenger door. And she usually, she's small enough, she can fit her legs in between the door and the seat. And sometimes she'll sit there and look out the window as she's going down the road, okay? 2 seconds later, and he would have broadsided us, okay? But if we wouldn't have stopped at Walmart, this never would have happened anyway, right? I like that one. That was good. So we get home, and her phone doesn't charge as fast. And I was like, have you tried plugging it back in? She's like, no, it doesn't work. I was like, well, let me try. So I plug it in, it starts charging from the port. And it's charged every day since then. But she could not get it to charge in the truck. And I got thinking, because I'm kind of like, why in the world did I have to stop at Walmart? Because she made me have my truck accident, all right? Why did I have to stop there? But you know what? I may never understand. And it was no big deal. I mean, it was just an accident. No big deal. I may never understand why we had that accident. But maybe God was just... Have you ever played chess and you've got the little pawns? And you know, by the end of the game, if you're playing with somebody, you know most of your pawns are gone. But you use the pawns to protect the king, right? And you know, I want to be in my life, I want to be a person that God can look down and say, I've got a bad situation over here in another Christian family in Salem. But I've got another Christian coming through Salem right now. I'm going to make him stop, and I'm going to work all the timing out so he has an accident so I can protect this family over here. I don't understand it, but it's not my job to understand it. It's a negative thing, okay? And, you know, in the whole scheme of things, does it really matter? No. You know, even though I was in this accident, you know what happened? God still, in my family, had his hands of protection to time. If I would have been going 35 miles an hour instead of 30, it wouldn't have been the same. If I would have been going 25 miles an hour instead of 30, and I'm sure I was going 30 because that was the speed limit. I'm sure that's what I was going. I mean, the officers, yes, sir, I was 30 on the money. I don't know. I wasn't looking when it happened. But I don't understand. But I don't have to understand. You say, Brother Chad, is the good? I may never see it in my life. It was interesting, though, when the tow truck driver picked us up and we loaded all six of us in the back of this tow truck, which was illegal. But we did that. There was another accident farther up the road. And I think it was power lines that had come down across the road. I don't know. Maybe God did it for us. We don't always understand, but we can trust. All things work together for good. We may not see it in our life. We may never see it in our life. But just trust the God that controls all that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to get us to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to trust you in everything that happens in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.